All right. I don't even know where to start. I'm ready to just throw in the towel right now. I just want to go home.
Oh, my God.
Well, here we go, folks. Let's give you a little insight of what's not happening today. It's Saturday morning. Everybody's here. We were going to start at 8 o'clock. Nothing worked. Our live YouTube failed. The Periscope failed. GarageBand failed. We're ready to just walk out the door. So my all intent and purposes was to have an awesome podcast. It was probably going to be really long. We've got actual crash stories here, lots of new products, a couple news stories. We're just going to go with it and see how it goes.
We're just drained at this point. We haven't even started.
Just with technology. Unbelievable. Anyway, before we start, my coffee's half cold. The donuts are hard.
I'm gonna go home and fly, but it's probably fall out of the sky.
Oh man, I think we should avoid technology altogether today.
Go home, go to bed, wake up, try it again.
Oh, so frustrating. Anyway, joining us today is Wayne in studio, Mike studio, and on the line we have Andre and David joining us today.
Hey guys.
Good morning.
Is it still morning? I didn't think it was.
Look, Mike, and I know I wore this just for the camera. Yeah. I'm looking at the camera that's not working.
I even did my hair and stuff.
I know. Poor Andre got up and actually showered this morning, because if you would have seen him before he had his coffee in his shower, it was not pretty.
So we are the cleanest bunch right now, and no one can see it.
Laura's going to send you a thank you email later. You finally got Andre to take a shower.
Oh, all this personal hygiene for nothing.
This sucks.
I mean, what happened? What happened today?
Welcome to our morning, guys.
Yes. Anyway, well, all right. We won't bore you with any more of our technology
mishaps,
crap, as I call it.
Faux pas.
Where do we want to start? Hey, let's just jump right into it again here.
Now I hear.
Now I hear an airplane
buzz in the roof.
Let's just talk about a couple news stories here real quick. The first one here that jumped, it was a couple days ago, was the police pilot with his near miss with a drone. Then he lands to meet the operator. And I'll give you a brief rundown on this, then we'll chat about it a little bit. The crew of a Fresno County Sheriff's helicopter reported a near miss with a drone Wednesday afternoon. The incident took place about noon as the Eagle One helicopter was heading to Shaver Lake area at an altitude of 550 feet. Sheriff spokesman Tony Boddy said that the helicopter was near Temperance and Shepherd Avenues. Pilot Johnny Ray spotted what he thought was a large bird in front of the helicopter. Now, listen to this. Moving closer, Ray realized that the object was a small aircraft. He swerved at the drone with a large wingspan flew over the top of the helicopter, missing it at about 20 feet. Boddy said Reyes took the helicopter to an altitude of 1,500 feet and circled the area in search of the drone operator, who was spotted near the 1,800 block of North Carson Avenue. Reyes landed the helicopter in a large field nearby and called for assistance from the ground unit. The air crew took information from the drone operator, who Boddy said had not registered it with the Federal Aviation Administration and was flying above the 400-foot limit for such aircraft. Boddy said the information would be turned over to the FAA, which would determine whether the operator would face sanctions. The drone operator, who was contacted at the scene, said he did not want to identify himself to the news media. He said the air crew members told him at one point in an interview that the drone had flown within 20 feet of the helicopter. At another point, the air crew said the drone was within 100 feet. Neighbor of the operator, who also did not want to be identified, said he came out of his home when he heard someone in a helicopter order the drone operator via speaker to stop and not run. The neighbor said the man frequently flies the craft in the area that appeared to be highly competent with it. Now, when I first read this, I thought, oh no, this is not good, you know. But I was on Facebook here a while back and just kind of reading through the discussion
a
little bit. Did you read through that?
Some of it.
Now, reading through the discussion, I'm now leaning more towards the drone operator.
Me too, after
you
reading
know,
that.
After reading that, you know, according to the guys that were posting on Facebook, that he violated like two FAR 119-something regulations with that helicopter and what he was doing in chasing down the drone pilot and being too close and not trying to avoid it and this and that. And technically, was the drone pilot actually doing anything wrong? I don't think he was.
There's no registration till February 19th. That's one thing that caught my eye.
Now, he says he was flying at 550 feet. Now, I'm not 100% sure
me
on
either.
This.
That's like a suggestion from what I'm getting out of law
and
from
I
saw.
And I just briefly touched with Andre about this because I've thought about this before and I don't know what the answer is. Now, when you're flying something that has GPS, and David, you can attest to this too, your altitude is above ground level altitude. So if I start at my house and I go up 500 feet, I'm 500 feet above the ground, okay, and everything's good. So say I go 400 feet. Mm-hmm. When you're in an aircraft with a regular altimeter, that runs off of sea level. So if you're at, say, 1,000 feet, and then you go up another 1,500 feet, that altimeter is going to show 1,500 feet, not 500 feet. So if this helicopter was saying he was at 550 feet or whatever, was the guy really only at, you know, at two
was he
or
below
three?
Sea
yes.
level at his land
exactly.
point?
Exactly. So how do you draw the line between that a little bit?
Well, and the thing is, like you said right there in the beginning, the helicopter flew toward the drone. The drone didn't fly toward him.
Right.
He turned and went toward
investigate it. That's what it sounded like.
That in itself, he looked at it. He's seen it. It was not in his path. He flew toward it.
Exactly.
So come on, you know?
Exactly.
But you see here where our hobby now is becoming the target. Yes, we are now the bad guys.
Yeah.
Something that is a hobby that we've been doing for a long time, and we are fine, but we're being vilified. Mm-hmm. And the thing is the news media is going to play it up.
Yeah, and that's the problem. The news has a hold of this.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds, like I said, when I first read it and everything, I thought, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah.
This guy did something wrong. But reading more into it and seeing what went on, what was said, and what the helicopter pilots did, I'm leaning way more towards the drone pilot of being in the right here.
This was a larger wing when they showed a picture. It was about the size of a 6-foot wingspan.
I think it was an X-8, which they have one here at Flight Test.
Yeah, did you see? Yeah.
It's like, it flies at 35, 40 miles an hour. It weighs 5 or 6 pounds. I mean, it's a foam. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, David,
I'm just trying to give the listeners an idea of what it wasn't a quad or
It wasn't a quad. It was actually a foam flying wing.
Yes.
So, David, you're kind of on the outside looking in. What do you think of just what little bit you know about it?
I don't have enough information to give a really good statement, but I mean, why would they chase or fly towards it? Like, they should always avoid stuff
obstacles,
in the air, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand they want to, find the pilot, but it seemed a little excessive.
The thing is the guy was flying in a field. Sorry. He was flying in an area that he's flown in a long time. And again, this is not knowing all the facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seemed like he was doing nothing wrong.
Right.
The story was created.
Correct.
And I do mean created.
Yes.
When the pilot flew toward the airplane.
Right.
And that, let's get back to, it's an airplane. It's not a drone, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. This thing is a foam plane. So they flew toward it. So they created a story.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking too. You know, if that pilot would have said, "Hey, you know, even if it, you know, was a bird or whatever, why would you even try to go fly towards the bird? You know, you see something, you go the opposite direction."
Yeah. If they would have continued on to where they were supposed to be going, none of this
wouldn't
would have been talked about. It would have not have been a problem, but they deviated from their course.
Right.
And found a spot to land the helicopter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, once they figured out it was a, you know, their words drone, they're like, oh, hey, we got something here. We've, you know what I mean? So then it turned into a process or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was rather interesting that, you know, when I first read this and in the news
like
media,
I thought, another bad
this
scenario.
Is not good. But when you really dig, when you kind of dig into that a little more, I'm leaning way towards the drone pod.
In that scenario, I was too. I mean.
But the next story, the guy is a major idiot. Yeah. This guy, I'm sorry, give me 15 minutes with this guy in a room and a ball bat.
Oh, okay, you ready? Are you ready for this? All right. A man from New Jersey accidentally crashed his drone into New York City's most recognizable skyscrapers, the Empire State Building. Sean Riddle, a 27-year-old Jersey City, was flying his consumer drone in Midtown Manhattan, which right there, that's completely
a no-no.
Yeah.
I mean, for any hobbyist.
Exactly.
Would know.
See, this sense. Now, this right here infringes right in on common sense.
Yeah.
Your average flying pilot, common sense says, that's stupid.
Way.
Nobody's going to do that. Right. But we have people that have no moral compass. They have no boundaries. They think they have a right to do anything. See, that's one of the things, you know, working in computer technology and stuff when I'm working with kids. And I taught my kids, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You know, I mean, okay, you go to the gas station. Yeah, you can fill it up and leave without paying. Can you do it? Well, sure. Should you?
Right.
No.
And I think Andre pointed out, too, that the guy, it's not like he's this young kid, just went out and bought this and took he's a well-educated, I think you said he was an engineer, right, Andre?
Something. He's got a full Twitter status or page, and it wasn't like, he's some, obviously the quad or whatever it was, was probably a nice little machine too. Mm-hmm. So
right. You know, he's 27 years old. That should give you a little bit of responsibility right there. But anyway, he crashed it into the Empire State Building and it crashed into the 40th floor, which that's a ways up there.
The Empire State Building is what, 1,200 feet?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and the 40th floor has got to be, I would love to have seen what kind of dynamic forces were at play as well as far as wind and stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, cutting around them buildings like that and stuff.
He hit the 40th floor and the drone fell, landing on a ledge on the 36th floor of the building. Now, here's the funny part. Riddle may have gotten away with the whole thing, except he really wanted his expensive drone back. So he asked the building security guards to help him retrieve it. You know, like one would ask their neighbor to throw back a baseball when they accidentally landed on the side of the fence. According to the Times, the security guards agreed to help, but then called the cops instead. Riddle was arrested a little before 8 p.m. and charged with reckless endangerment and navigation in and over New York City. When Riddle was waiting for the security to retrieve his drone, the cop showed up. He snapped a selfie, making it the most 2016 story ever told.
So he was obviously looking for the attention if he did a selfie and all that, too.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want that kind of attention.
Obviously, he wanted his 15 seconds of fame.
You know, and the noise factor just inside New York City has got to be unbelievable. We have thousands of people and the Wi-Fi and the metal and the buildings. And I don't even see how something could fly that well anyway.
And you're also flying right over top of people.
People.
That's the thing that gripes me the most is you know you're flying over people.
Right.
So, come on.
I wonder where he was flying from, too. I mean, was he on the ground trying to look up to the 40th floor? And
or was he looking out the window at the 40th floor?
Where did he launch from?
Yeah.
Just from the dynamics of that.
Sure.
You know, like, it's a pretty busy area as well. Well, 8 p.m. at night, so.
I don't know. I like Wayne's suggestion, a bat in a room.
You know. Does anybody want to buy a bunch of flying gear? I'm about to sell mine. Just
me too.
The photography.
That's how I was.
So that was actually the top new news stories. This
week. Helicopter one.
Well, I have two.
Oh, go.
Have you guys seen the Dutch police has trained eagles to take down drones?
I did see that video. Was that legit?
I heard about it.
Now, what happens now with PETA and them, the first time one of those get hurt trying to do that? Oh, boy.
I don't know. It's just the video, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It was.
But Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they fly towards something big, that's not going to end well.
No, not at all. You get a big old hexacopter up there that weighs, you know, about 20 pounds. It's just going to drag that thing right down.
Oh, man.
Huh.
Well, it's just the blades and everything. Yeah. I can only assume that the pilot or the operator, when they were doing all these demonstrations, was shutting the props down right away, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's it's crazy. It's just, it was just interesting.
That was.
I heard that they're making some other drones, like capture drones, doing illegal behavior too, with like nets and things. I didn't see it, or I just heard about it.
Didn't you see the flight test video?
I'm just saying it was more media because I was hearing it from other people.
Right. Yeah, there's and also I seen something on Facebook this week too. A guy's got some kind of special gun, kind of like the drone hunter had. Did you see that, David?
Who's that guy?
It was on. I just skimmed through it briefly, but it was some kind of, I don't know, interference type gun where they aim it right at the drone and pull the trigger, and the thing just falls right out of the sky.
Like an EMP kind of
something. Yeah, yeah. So they're working on that too.
Thanks, David. You see what she started.
I'm sorry.
On the helicopter note, I saw an image you sent me, Chris, with the blades cutting trees. What was your take? I never got to talk to you about it. You got to see and encounter what I did. Yeah. Talk about low-flying helicopters.
Well, the funny thing was, like you said, it's very loud. I could hear it first. I'm driving down the road, and you could just hear those saws, like, and you're like,
what? Well, even just the rotor, too, is loud. Just
so
the helicopter.
I kept looking around, and then when we came into a little bit of the open area, then I could see the helicopter just hovering and then blades of death.
That's exactly what I had over, like, when I was hunting.
Holy cow, that is crazy.
I just wanted to get your take on it. I'm so glad you got to see what I saw.
Yeah, I pulled right over. Impressive. I pulled over and got the phone out and watched it for a while. Took some pictures.
We listened to it for about an hour. It was cutting the woods in front of us while we were hunting.
And that guy has some skill, man. I mean, literally,
equipment.
And that thing's all like that helicopter was all over the place.
Now explain to everybody what you guys are talking about.
Sorry.
We
talked a little bit about the last time I did a podcast.
It looks kind of like I don't know, maybe like a Hughes 500 helicopter, the four blade, you know, with the bubble canopy. And below it has this giant, must be some kind of cable with, I don't know, it's got, it has to be electric powered or something.
Maybe my dad was thinking hydraulic, but I don't know how they would do that.
I don't either.
I don't know what operates.
Off this giant cable was, geez, Mike, how many were there?
I think it's around 10 blades.
Yeah.
They're 3 feet in diameter.
Yes. And these things just rotate off of this cable. I mean, it looks like the blades of death.
They can engage it, you know, when they need to start cutting the clearing or right of ways for the high tension lines.
Yeah.
So not only do you have the blades of death, then you have high voltage lines that they're going
right along the side. The helicopter's
dragging
like
that line
just above the treetop levels. And they're just whacking.
They're just dragging it.
Yeah,
and they can cut limbs roughly. We went back afterwards, and they cut limbs probably over six and eight inches around in diameter going through there.
It was crazy.
You just hope nobody's on the ground.
Limbs is a pretty bad word for that.
What's that?
Limbs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they are trimming from the top, so it's not at the base of the tree or anything. But they did. I see them going up and down, different, trying to get the full height of that right away.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking, man, if I was in a tree stand by there, you know, hold out your hands, trim your nails or something.
Oh, gosh.
That's crazy.
Oh, it was scary.
But it is.
It was
I just
really
can't.
Scary.
But like you said, how he pilots along them lines, I'd have that thing so tangled up in those lines.
Man. Yeah, it was a sight to see.
I did read an article about it that they do practice dragging weight. And I saw where they took the back seats out of the helicopter to get less weight in the helicopter to drag the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
As I did, because Penelec had a little article in our internal mail that I'd read on it. But it's pretty cool.
Wow. Okay.
It's a feat to see.
Anything, David, did you have one more story too?
Yeah, I thought he had two.
Yeah, it was just a really quick one that there will be a no drone zone during Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh,
did
yes.
see that. Yep.
But it's just a 36-mile radius around the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing was they specifically say there's no model rocketry allowed either.
36 miles?
30 miles. 36 miles?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
That's
so
quite...
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
So no flying and no model rockets.
Huh. It's funny they threw the model rockets in there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going after those guys. Sure. Those poor guys.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that the security is hyped so much for the Super Bowl, even though they didn't have any real threats. Mm-hmm. It's like an astronomical level for security.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, what are you going to do at 36 miles out? Isn't that a little extreme?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't have
anything that's going to fly that far.
No.
Yeah. Okay, stop the fear-mongering. Do something else.
Yes, exactly. I wanted to touch on one other little thing real quick while we're kind of talking about all this other garbage here. But Blue posted on the flight test forums. We were talking about flying, and, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better. But there for a while, it was just like we weren't even sure if we were going to do this anymore. And talking about how we're flying and you feel like a criminal and this and that. So Blue posted on there and he's like, hey, why don't you, you know, talk to these people or talk to your neighbors or talk to the cops and educate them and you know, make it a better process for everybody. So I did answer him back, but I just wanted to answer a few questions and make some statements. And maybe it came across a little bit wrong on the podcast. I don't know, but what we were trying to say was, in, you know, over the 10 years or so that we've been flying out at Jackson, we really haven't had any problems. The cops have been very good to us. Most of the people have been very good. And, you know, Wayne knows, you know, Mike, anybody that came up to talk to us or had any questions or was very unsure about what we were doing or whatever, we always talked to them. We let them check stuff out. I always offered to, here, take the controller. Go ahead and fly. I'd say 99% of everybody, besides maybe that one little incident we had, went away with a complete different mindset. They were blown away that we were flying electric foam airplane stuff. It looked that good. It flew that well. The cops have been great. They've always come over, watch us, hang out.
They had questions when I even had a mishap.
Right, and when you crashed into the tree plane, the guy got out of his car, made him come over to help.
Walked over. Yeah, like,
so...
Yeah.
We've had no problems. No. Most of my neighbors have been very good. They know what I do, and I've talked to a lot of them. But here's where the problem lies. It's the people that kind of stay away, that don't ask the questions, mm-hmm. that don't know.
That are reporting on
this. Yes, that listen to the media, listen to the hype of what's going on. They see somebody out there flying. They call the cops, which we've already had numerous reports of where people are just doing exactly what they've been doing for how many years? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong. Somebody drives by and sees, oh my gosh, they're flying a drone. It must be illegal. Call the cops.
Yep.
So when you get these people peeping out their windows, you know, wondering what you're doing to, you know, or the jogger that's a mile away that thinks you're spying on them with your drone, the cops that maybe already don't like drones or have something against them, you know, whether they've been watching and feeding into the media stuff, that's the people that we're having the problems with that we can't really control, mm-hmm. you know, that we can't really, yeah. you know, do anything about. That's where the problem lies. And that's where, you know, if we're going out flying, even though we know we're not doing anything wrong, we know that there's people out there watching us or questioning what we're doing or even calling, you know, the police or whatever, you know, when we know we're not doing anything, but it's in the back of your mind that, you know, what's happening or am I going to be in trouble or do I have to explain what I'm doing when we shouldn't have to be? Mm-hmm. You know, if we do something wrong and the cops show up, fine.
Yep.
No problem. But if we're not doing anything wrong, they shouldn't just show up and see what's going on or people shouldn't be afraid. You know, it's been going on for 80 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem was. So
yeah, and that's the thing. Like you said, when you have people that are curious or do have questions, mm-hmm. and you know, even if you're flying FPV, which is the best thing, because
yes.
man, when you give them the goggles, right. they are like blown away.
Yeah.
Then they see, okay, there's no way you're spying on anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Not with that, you know, there's no way. You have to be right on top of them, 6 feet away, to be able to recognize who it is. But when they see the view, and that's like the video that we made, mm-hmm. you know, flying over my house.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law, she's seen that, and she thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, that's so beautiful up there. And
yeah.
I says, that is the reason why a lot of people fly FPV.
Right.
It's that feeling of you're flying.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, it's amazing. I says, you just don't know what it feels like to be able, I mean, how many of us can go out and get a pilot's license? You know?
Right.
You know, come on, I'm 54. The odds are not really good.
Yeah.
But
hey, I can throw on some FPV goggles and I can go out and just have an amazing time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the whole thing. You know, people are losing track of the fact that this is a hobby, man. This is fun. This is our release, you know.
It's
most of your people out there are not reckless. They're not trying to spy on anybody. They're not flying over New York City.
Right.
You know?
And for anybody...
Except Andre, maybe.
Yeah, if you... There's thousands of FPV videos out there, but the one that we actually did, we were only flying, what, 200-300 feet?
Yeah. And now, the problem is... Now, let's go back to what we were talking about with the helicopter and stuff. I've seen airplanes now flying around over my house, and I bet you these guys aren't 250, 300 feet in the air.
Wow.
And luckily, the one, I couldn't get my camera out of my bag fast enough because they were actually two planes flying crisscrossing at each other like their buddies goofing around.
No kidding.
I would love to got that on video, but I couldn't get my camera out fast enough. But it's like, you want to talk about reckless. Okay, I crashed my Foamy. Okay, so what? You get one of these Cessnas or whatever these things are, and they crash into the ground. We got a problem,
right?
You
know, yeah. And in the video we shot, being only 200 or 300 feet, if you watch that, I bet you can almost not pick out where we were standing flying. Yeah. You could barely even. Matter of fact, if
you
have to
point it out,
yes,
to people.
Yes, exactly. Then we're at 200-300 feet. Yeah. So. Okay, enough of rambling on here. How about we talk about some new products? Because there are tons and tons and tons of stuff that has come out here recently. And you know what the really crazy thing is several years ago when the Nuremberg Toy Fair used to come out, it was a huge ordeal. Like, it was all over the forums. You know, everybody showed up from all the manufacturers, and that's where all the big new products would come out and this and that. And, David, I don't know if you used to follow that through the years, but it seems... especially the last couple years, you really don't hear much about the Nuremberg Toy Fair. It's like kind of, I don't know if it's going downhill or the manufacturers don't care about it as much, but it's really hard to find information of the newer products coming out through the Nuremberg Toy Fair. Have you noticed that at all?
It was almost impossible to find anything.
Yes.
Like, you sent me the list of stuff, but I had to individually find each of those products on the manufacturer's page to be able to find the information.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy where before, like even in the forums, you know, the people that would even go over there and go through it, you know, they would say, oh, look, here's all the new FMF stuff, and this is the all new FPV stuff, and this and that, and, you know, and it was a great, you know, affair and a place to find the new products, but not anymore. I don't understand it.
I think it's because technology is going so fast now, and things are just coming out daily.
Mm-hmm.
That
and all the manufacturers have social media.
Yep.
They have social media, and you know, a lot of them are starting to actually follow social media protocols and for their releases. So decentralization, basically, right? You know, you don't need a massive event to go to release a new something. We just, you know, do a few teasers and go. But
Yeah, that's a good point, and they're probably saving a lot of money that way too. Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Well, I mean, I wonder what Horizon, what their costs are for this trip. You know.
Yeah, yeah. They seem to be the only real big, large manufacturer still going over there, and you know, representing a big chunk of it over there. Okay.
I'd say just make videos instead. Spend the money on that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hire some talented videographers.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, first thing we're going to talk about, and we're going to go through kind of in order, but we're going to go through the Horizon stuff first and then some other products after that, because Horizon right now has got a ton of stuff that has come out here recently.
They always have a ton of stuff coming out. These guys are nonstop.
It seems like an unusual amount. Anyway, the first thing I wanted to talk about is the Vortex 250 Pro, and I want to get David's thoughts on it. I've read about it a little bit. It seems pretty impressive. It is expensive. It is a collaboration with Immersion RC. So let me just run through some bits and pieces here. It's a fully integrated machine with the flight controller, full graphic OSD, black box recorder, 40-channel video transmitter, and a dampened flight camera. Loose wiring in the Vortex 250 Pro is virtually non-existent for a professional look, and it's easy to maintain. It's got 7 32-bit ARM processors, tough construction, Fusion F3 with clean flight, dynamic power control, wireless video control, different camera options, pro-tuned Preloaded firmware has been protuned to make this quad fly like it's on rails. You can explore the other protuned updates available and try out some of the biggest names in FPV quad racing. LED lights, lost model alarm, custom ESCs. Oh, we should answer the phone just for the heck of it. Wouldn't that be funny? I always wanted to do that on there. Hey, you're on the FP After Hours Live. They'd be like, who? All right, anyway. Custom V-spec motors, black box recorder. Like I said, it's got a full graphic easy OSD, and it's also a bind and fly. Now, David, before you jump in and tear it all apart, I have to wonder, I thought it was kind of funny because Horizon just come out with that, was it the Mach 25, not too far before this, and maybe, I don't know if they just realized that they weren't getting anywhere or they weren't getting what they wanted, so then they went in with Immersion RC, you know, as a collaboration to get something better. Okay, go.
It is amazing.
You like it then?
Yeah, it is. I mean, for the price, it's fantastic.
Is it really?
It really is.
Yeah. Do you guys know what it translates into in Canadian dollars?
Oh yeah, I'd like to know.
$15 million.
Well, it's five. Well, was it 500 on here? The bind and fly, and that's out of stock as well.
Well, I mean, it's not released yet, right? But even at the hold on, 500. All right, fine. $500. It's a $700 quad, Dave.
Still, it's pretty good. It is really. I mean, it's a tough little beast. As well, and I mean the gear that they have in there is really impressive, and it works out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually a pretty good deal.
Okay. Now, see, when I first seen it, and again, I just looking at it and whatever, I thought it was pricey. But if you're saying for what you're getting, and I guess you know you don't have to build it, it is a good deal then.
I think so. It's I mean it depends on what you're after, but I like how it looks. I like how well everything is protected, and it's well thought out. And you get a video transmitter, you get like everything. All you have to add is the battery and the receiver. I think not in the two
remote.
The bind and fly. They have a built-in receiver, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the normal one, Immersion sells it for $479.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff in there.
It looks like the GoPro might be exposed to the elements the way they mount it, though.
It is on every single.
Yeah.
TV.
Yeah. Is it?
Oh, okay. Right. 250 quads.
Yeah. All right.
I've seen a couple of good crashes recently. A few of the guys at the field have actually stepped up, and they do fly like the first generation. And what impressed me was, and I was looking at it, and the guys are like, well, I can tune everything about my OSD right from the remote.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in. So that alone, I'm like, okay, that is kind of cool, because nothing worse than getting to the field and going, I need to fix something, and I have to, you know, break out my phone or something or a laptop. So yeah, that feature alone, being able to do all your controls and all your updates through your visual and your remote, yeah, that is neat. I will give them credit for that.
Yeah, it's not for everyone, but it is. You get a really good racing quad for that price, and it's good to go.
Yeah, all right,
sweet.
You convinced me. Then I was on the fence.
And it looks pretty cool.
It does look nice.
I like that.
It does look really cool. So, all right, next up we have the Carbon Cub 15cc ARF, which is a Balsa model, brand new, just come out. You can do either or gas or electric. You can run it off of a 15cc two-stroke gas or a Power 60, which runs on a 6-cell 5,000 milliamp battery. Now, it's a big bird. It's got a 90-inch wingspan. It's beautiful looking, I will say that. Let's see, get some specs. Got the regular shock absorbing main landing gear, two-piece plug-in wing, functional flaps, quick disconnect, streamlined wing struts, functional LED landing lights installed, optional cockpit side doors, instrument details, seats included, float ready, matching paint, pre-cut hinge locations for all control surfaces, genuine ultra coat, tail wire detail, and leaf tail wheel. Easy installation of engine or electric power. Complete hardware package featuring fiberglass control horns. Like I said, 15cc two-stroke or electric. 6-plus channel full-range transmitter needed. 7 standard digital servos. 2-time batteries for the receiver and engine ignition and a propeller.
And optional floats for Andre.
Yes.
Yes. You know, the only thing, wish I could fly inside of it, right? Yeah,
it really is a beautiful looking airplane.
It is.
The only thing kind of I thought was crazy was, you know, you can run on a power 60 on a 6L5000. That's the same size that what my Carbon Cub or my Carbon Z Cub runs off of, and it's a little bit smaller than that. So, let's see. How about since we're on the Cub thing? Well, I know it's already out, but I don't think we've really talked about it. How about the Ultra Micro J3 Cub? Andre, give me your thoughts. Go.
I like it, but do I need another high wing? Of course. So what's nice about this one, I'm just trying to call it up here because it didn't show up under new releases, but that's a nice 2S solution, and I think they've stepped away from their brushless. Here we go, found it. And we're liking this because they are starting to step away from the brushless motors. Nothing wrong with it, but it is kind of nice to be able to have some brushless technology behind it. 2S, what is it?
BL 180, yeah. 2500 kV outrunner motor, has the AS3X, fits a 180 to 280 milliamp 2-cell 30C LiPo battery. It has the ultra micro linear long throw servos fully assembled, and it also has the optional float set. Now, there was a lot of discussion on the forums about this because, as everybody knows, I had one, a couple other people I know had one. We had the Carbon Cub SS. And when it came out, it was super expensive. It's all I wanted to fly around the yard and have the navigation lights and have the flaps. And I got it and tried flying it, and I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to several other people that hated it. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people love it. They think it's one of the best, you know, ultra micros out there. I tried and tried and tried and tried with that airplane, and it flew. Don't get me wrong. But it was just way too twitchy, and it flew way too fast for what I wanted. And that's kind of, you know, I would go right back to the little Champ. And then now that I have the Sport Cub S, fly that around the yard. But I think with this, you know, what they were trying to do, they're slowing it down, more detail. This one actually has a regular wing. It doesn't have the big under camber like the Sport Cub S. It is heavier, but it's also a little bit bigger. And so far from what the videos I've seen and the people I've talked to on the forums, it flies phenomenal. It looks great. They're putting a little bit, some of the guys are even putting bigger wheels on it, you know, make them look like, you know, the Tundra wheels.
Oh, yeah.
But so far, the videos I've seen, it looks like a
wheel. Well, the AS3X probably takes that twitchiness out of
it,
these
it
too
does.
Now.
It
nowadays.
Does. Yeah. So,
and you know what I like being 2S? I had to stop flying anything with 1S as soon as the temperatures get too cold because the 1S has just stopped responding, right? Yeah. And it's frustrating because you're so hit and miss. I take off and it shuts down, or it won't even it won't even arm because it just goes, no, the battery voltage is just too low and I'm not going to fly. So I think with 2S battery package in there, it probably does a little bit better, and it looks like the battery gets loaded inside the aircraft rather than how the 1S's are always exposed. So,
yeah, I agree. I hate the 1S. I mean, I love the ultra micros, but I hate the 1S, especially like you said, in the cold, they do not work. Always had problems with them. So, yeah, this could change a lot. What do you think, David? You like that little thing?
It looked cool. How much bigger is it than the Champ?
What is it? 20? Oh, hang on. I just had
it's
it
got a 20. Yeah, it's got a 26.4 inch wingspan. Yeah, and it's like 17 inches long.
Yeah,
that sounds big.
It is. It's quite a bit bigger, and actually, it's quite a bit heavier than the Champ. So initially, when everybody was, you know how the forums, them guys really get into the Reynolds numbers and everything, and they're like, oh, this thing's gonna fly like crap, and it's not blah blah. It's heavy and this and that. But so far, people that do have it in the videos, it looks like it flies really well. So I got my eye on it for sure.
And for the bind and fly, it's in stock and for $130 US.
Yep. So.
Unless you live in Canada.
Yeah, unless you live in Canada, it'd be 200.
I, Yeah, I've given up on it. I don't think there will be a lot of purchases from the local hobby store this year, unfortunately, because the exchange rate and everything. But let's get on to good stuff.
Okay, on to the next thing. Real quick, too, we'll jump into this since we're in the Ultra Micro, as eFlight also has an Ultra Micro P3 Revolution Bind and Fly Basic. It's a aerobatic Ultra Micro biplane designed by Mike McConville, designed for aggressive 3D flight, has the AS3X technology, rock-solid handling. It's licensed by the Skip Stewart Air Shows. High-speed brushless 180, 3,000 kV motor installed. Authentic Skip Stewart Air Show trim scheme. 4x performance, long linear throw servos, optional 4-channel control plus steerable tail wheel. And watch a video on that. Thing's crazy. I mean, cool flying airplane. Not for me. $140.
Yeah.
I'll give you the quick specs. Wingspan's only 16 inches, 15.8 inches in length, 3.03 ounces. Runs on the 7.4 200 milliamp 25C LiPo battery.
To do 3D with an Ultra Micro kind of baffles me. I'm not at that level.
It's tough.
I mean, because usually larger, you get more, right, as far as 3D aspects and stuff. It's easier, right, to maneuver and things. So I couldn't imagine doing it with a micro. But there's people that can, obviously, watching the video.
Oh, yeah. So that brings us up to the next one, if I could find it. eFlight brought out a full version of that, of the, how do you say that, Prometheus?
Yeah, I don't know, the ZP2, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, the which is a bigger version
of that, yeah.
See if I can find that.
I just accidentally deleted mine.
So did I. Hang on, guys, hang on. I wonder if it was in the, no. It's not coming up. Anybody find it yet? It disappeared.
Oh, what are you looking for?
eFlight's got a full version of the Prometheus. It's the Carbon ZP2 Bind and Fly.
Got it. If you go under Bind and Fly and scroll down a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go. So it's $450 on sale right now, or pre-order, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it flies, yeah, it's a 48-inch wing. It's got a 50-size brushless motor, 70-amp ESC, and flies off a 6S 4,400 milliamp 6S.
Or you can just put it in a Prius and then drive to China and back.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Tool-free strut installation, Skip Stewart Air Show officially. Yeah, so very much. So basically a grown-up version of the big version of the UO Max.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this thing must haul at a 6S. Man. Imagine just being able to – you could probably just sit there and hover the thing for like an hour, you know.
Mm-hmm. The thing looks fast just sitting there.
Yeah.
Just there. Looking at the picture, that thing looks like it's flying. I mean, come on. That thing looks
black
cool.
With red flames.
I like it.
It does look impressive.
It does.
It would be one of them things that would sit in my little hobby shop, and I'd look at it probably.
yeah, yeah. What size? It's got a 15-inch, 15 by 5.5 two-bladed prop. It's got four 25-gram mini metal geared servos.
Wow.
So it's got some big throws. And it weighs in at 7 pounds. That's a big That's a 7-pound airplane. Yeah. And it's carbon Z?
Yeah.
That must be all because of the motor and the battery pack, I guess.
Yeah, then battery
flying packs. Flying weight of 7 pounds. Man, if that thing went in, if you thundered that thing in, you'd just be picking up little bits of foam.
Yeah, Wayne's looking at the video right now. That thing, wow. I wish I had those skills to be able to do that, that thing.
Yeah, you and me both.
Wow.
Is it black underneath, too? Because I couldn't tell.
I think it was.
That'd be hard for me visually. I'd be like, whew. I know. Yeah, I made the mistake of dark colors once, and it was not good.
I don't know. It's black and red and white.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Underneath it is one white there.
Get a bit of color. Get some contrast. You know, all they need now is to figure out like an electronic smoke system, and then you're set, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. All right, next thing on the list, they have a new F4U Corsair, which I was really kind of shocked about this. It seems like they got a lot of Corsairs coming out now. And the funny thing is it looks like they're kind of leaning a little bit towards the 1200 millimeter. We had a big discussion about that with them, you know, going back and forth between 1100 and 1200 millimeters. Now, looking at this plane, I know Andre doesn't like it. The looks of it. I actually do like the green contrast onto the blue Corsair. But looking at it, I don't know for sure, but just kind of looking at it, it looks identical to the FMS plane. So my guess is it's probably built by FMS. Nothing out of the ordinary. It's AS3X retractable 90-degree rotating electric main gear, which I think it looks like they beefed them up and made them better, because I know on my other Corsair, the electric 90-degree rotating retracts did not work very well, and they were very prone to breaking. So maybe they went back to the drawing board on that, made them a little bit better. Powerful 15 size, 850 kV brushless motor, E-Flight 40-amp ESC, 2200 3-cell, durable Z foam. Has the authentic U.S. Marine Corps VM-FT-20 training squadron trim scheme. Realistic cockpit, four-bladed propeller, radio engine detail. It's a nice-looking plane. I like it. Now, again, the only thing I think that they're kind of lacking now that they're going up to the 1,200 millimeters and they're making them bigger and heavier and with all the bells and whistles, I think they ought to have the option to go 4-cell. Even if you got to take
prop.
Yeah, to change a prop, put a two-bladed prop on there to run the 4-cell or whatever you got to do.
Why not just put a 50-amp ESC and give people options, you know?
We've
been up and down. We've beaten this one into the ground as far as, you know, why do I have to buy a very expensive airplane and then swap the, you know, if I want to go 4S just for the it's not even the performance. I think at this point it's just the safety of having that extra power on demand for when you do something silly.
Mm-hmm.
No, you wouldn't do anything silly. No. Come on.
But, Chris has been grilling me on the Pawnee, and I've been flying that thing as much as I can since I've got it on the skis. And it flies okay, but every once in a while, you just dip the speed down just a little too much, and it gets a little squirrely in it. Because it's got that triple blade prop and a 30-amp ESC, it takes that extra little bit of time to get the power back up to recover, you know, and I've had it dumped down. I've had it nose over on me in a turn, and you're like, whoa, just go, 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 go. And if I, you know, because I had enough altitude, I recovered. But it's like, why limit the aircraft just for the sake of scale?
Mm-hmm.
Why not make it so that, you know, it's got that marginal recoverability and that performance envelope that I can say, okay, you know, of course, the next person is just going to be firewalled all the way and going full tilt. That's them. I want to be able to know that if I'm flying an aircraft and I do something that's a little bit wrong, I've got the extra little bit of power left in me to recover and keep going. So,
right.
Well, maybe because they know people like Chris will fly it once or twice, and then he'll go ahead and order all the parts he wants and upgrade it anyways.
Potentially. But I've become, the longer I go at this, the more I'm a firm believer that why not maximize the potential of the aircraft and give everybody the product that's going to go. I understand there's some serious, you know, demand and desire for people to have a scale authentic experience, but we're flying a model airplane, not the real airplane. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's your real feelings about it, Andre?
Well, hey, it's kind of nice just to have been doing this now long enough that I have an opinion. Actually, I think the Pawnee has been a really good experience for me as well, as far as I've finally been able to articulate what I'm feeling when I'm flying something, because everything else so far, I've had really positive experiences. And the Pawnee has kind of taught me to think about, okay, why is it doing this? You know, why do I feel like I'm, you know, why does this kind of just not even rub me the wrong way, but I just don't get that wow feeling out of it. And we've gone down this topic a few times. So I'm watching the forums, and two, I'm stepping through different processes with this aircraft as I go. But it comes back to, you know, why is it doing this, and why don't I feel like out of the box when I bought a fairly expensive product? Why is it, you know, hesitating? Basically, is the word I want to use, I suppose. So there.
All right, now let's we're going to jump into the Nuremberg stuff that they kind of released here this week, and we'll touch on some of that. And the first thing I want to touch on, because I think it's crazy. They brought out a new, and I was surprised at this, really. They brought out a new DX20, 20-channel DSMX transmitter. It's $1,299.
On sale.
Yeah, on sale. Now, before getting any opinions on it, I'll run through some of the things. It's got a carbon fiber front case, machined aluminum quad bearing gimbals, interchangeable leather side grips, 20 fully proportional channels, all the features of the rest of the new transmitter, the voice alerts and the wireless training, built-in telemetry, airplane, helicopter, sailplane, multi-rotor programming, 11 airplane wings, 6 airplane tail types, 2 canard options, active gyro trim, 5 airplane and heli modes, 7 swashable type, swash plate timing, 7-point airplane and heli throttle curves. I mean, we're going on and on. 5 sailplane wings, 3 sailplane tail types, 10 sailplane flight modes, multi-rotor flight mode setup, checklist, and voice alerts, 16 programmable mixes, flap delay, elevator compensation, I mean, on and on, 4,000 milliamp LiPo battery, gimbal charging system, X Plus technology, expandable up to 20 channels, on and on and on. Now, David, is this just a radio for somebody that has money burning a hole in your pocket and you're flying a $15,000 RC jet? Why would you need something like this?
No clue. I'm looking at it, and it doesn't even look that good to
me. I don't think so either. Not for a $1,200 radio. I just, maybe it's me. I don't
should
like
be gold, look. Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, it should be able to drive me to work.
$1,300 or better.
I don't know. It's just a carbon fiber front. What's that actually doing?
Like, making my coffee in the morning?
Making it an extra $300 more. It would make it a little lighter, I guess, for one. Because I know, like, the DX18, that's a big, heavy radio.
Oh, and, yeah, it is.
You know, so now you're going to a 20.
Yeah, but you got a lanyard on.
So yeah, well, yeah, I know. But even with my radio, after a half hour, you know, your neck starts hurting. And
that's
know.
A 4,000.
4,000 milliamp.
4,000 milliamp 3S battery in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe they had to add a little carbon fiber to lighten that sucker up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, maybe. No. It doesn't. No.
Overkill.
Come on, Dave. What's your boat?
Look, my boat.
I mean, I'm just wondering what. Am I just
fired that? Is there a need for it?
Yeah. What, you know.
What
really
were we missing?
20 channels? I don't know.
What are we missing?
I thought the 18 was overkill, but 20? Wow. So anyway, that's a new radio. If you got a $1,200 burning a hole in your pocket and you want a new radio.
2,000 Canadian.
Or 2,000 Canadian.
I could fly my entire year. Like, that's a budget of an entire year of flying at that point. With battery, I could buy, battery's going to, never mind.
Oh, I can see where this thing would cause me problems. It has 5 menu languages. Oh, it'd be just my luck I'd get that thing into French or something. Like, oh, crap. Now what?
It just feels like it's a showing off piece.
It is. Yeah. Oh. Come on. Yep.
Okay, next on the list, this is another
one. But David's ordering 3 of them.
Yeah, probably. He's probably going, I love this thing. All right, next on the list, this is something a little unusual, and again, something I didn't expect from Horizon, but they have a new, they're calling it a drone. It's called a Zeroc, Zeyrok. How do you say that? Zeroc? I don't know.
Xerox? Is it just a copy of something?
Yeah, exactly. Good one. It's a ready-to-fly drone with safe technology. It comes in, like, yellow and green. Fully assembled, no building necessary, safe technology, incredible durable, lightweight, unibody, available in brilliant yellow and green. Now, it has an optional remote control 720 1.3 megapixel camera. Maintenance-free enclosed rotor drive system, large 750 milliamp one-cell flight battery, brilliant LED orientation lights, status indication, removable skids, optional 4 gigabyte micro SD card, multifunction transmitter with Spectrum DSMX technology. I like the looks of it. It looks cool.
Futuristic.
And it's different.
It's yellow. You won't lose that bad boy.
It's not your just typical quadcopter, but I'm guessing they're trying to hit the kind of like the beginner guys coming in the market, want something different and fun to fly. But what do you guys think there on the phone there? Do you like the looks of it?
I mean, it looks like it looks kind of toyish,
mm-hmm. Right? Yeah,
like a taxi
I agree.
Cab.
Yep, but, a taxi cab. Yeah. I never thought of that. That's great. A taxi cab.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, it should be a good first copter.
But no prop guards.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. All right, so speaking of prop guards, let's move on to the new Inductrix 200 FPV Bind and Fly.
Now that looked neat.
Yes. Now, I have to give him credit here. I know I've been bashing him here lately, but I will give him credit because the Inductrix is something I really like to fly around the house.
Yep.
So now they brought out a little larger version. Mm-hmm. Same thing. It's got the ducted fans on it, and they're completely kind of enclosed. And they made it FPV, and it's just different. You know, it's not just your standard 900 different types of micro quads out there to fly. So I got to give them some props. I do like this. I do think it's a little bit pricey for what you're getting, but we'll see. You know, they always sometimes start out a little high, and they kind of drop their prices. But lightweight, fully assembled.
3S battery.
3S battery, which I'm going to talk about that in a second because there is something with that I do not like. Fully integrated FPV flight camera, compatible with Fat Shark headsets and video monitors on 5.8. Durable rotor housings. You know, like I said, they're all kind of enclosed, so if you bash into the wall or you get close to something, it's not going to bother them. And it does have brushless outrunner motors. To me, that was a big step up. LED status lighting. Now, here's what I don't like.
That battery. It's got a quick change
800 milliamp 3-cell LiPo battery.
But it's
proprietary.
Only to that quad, which, what are you doing, Horizon? You got a great product out there, and then you're going to throw in
a specialized battery.
And I'm trying to look. The battery right now is $25.
Yeah.
Now you're going to. Yes. Yes. Yeah. $25 for the battery.
That was a huge bad call there.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
I completely agree.
You've looked at the Inductrix, Chris. So you're saying it's quieter than, say, like a Nano?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
See that? Yeah, that would have been because that video you guys that we giggled about earlier this week in the chat with the dad flying around sending a note to his daughter.
Oh yeah, yeah, wow. Right,
yeah,
yeah.
A look from the wife. So something like this would be great, you know. But yeah, like
way less likely to get tangled in your wife's hair.
Nobody's ever done that.
Be quieter. You can sneak up behind everybody with it.
But it's a little bit pricey, and then you have a pricey extra battery. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Well, this is it. I mean, this is so. Yeah, I mean,
it's $300 right out of the gate.
Yeah,
you look at two extra batteries and that thing.
Yeah,
so,
and you'd want a minimum of two batteries with that thing. So that's my only really gripe about that thing. What do you think, David?
It looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
Not from a, like, I don't know, what do you call that? It doesn't look beautiful, but it looks super functional.
How much does it weigh? Where's the specs on that bad boy?
Two goats.
Oh.
Two sticks of butter.
I'm just wondering because, you know, we've all dropped the Nano while we're flying it around, right? So, you know, if this landed on your kid's head, you get
185 grams.
Yeah, 185 grams, yep. 6 to 8 minutes of flying time, which isn't too bad, really.
No, I guess you'd be worn out after doing some FPV through the house after 6 to 8 minutes straight. I mean, we're so used to just getting a couple minutes out of the little Nanos right now.
I know. All right, moving along here, the other new thing, which is cool, they brought out the new 120S ready-to-fly or bind-and-fly little heli, and it's flybarless now. Fully assembled, no building, safe technology, panic. Now, here's the cool thing, and I don't know why they didn't start out with this a long time ago. Now they're starting to put the panic recovery mode on the helicopters, Wayne. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
The other great thing is the flybarless rotor looks great. Durable construction, carbon fiber components, high-speed cordless main and tail motors, sublinear long throw servos, E-Flight 500 milliamp one cell. Let me give you some specs real quick. Main rotor is 12.99 inches or 330 millimeters. Main rotor blade, I cannot talk today. Blade length, 146 millimeters. They're plastic. It does have a brushed main motor. One cell, like I said, 3.7500. Tail is direct drive. And let's see, the flying weight is 106 grams, and you can fly it roughly for about 5 minutes. But the one thing I do like about this is it has the three modes, beginner, intermediate, and expert mode. So this is something if you want to get into the helis a little bit, and you don't have to, you know, if you do crash it, it is kind of small enough that I don't think you're going to do a lot of damage to it.
A great price point for ready to fly.
Yeah, $149.
That's really...
For a ready to fly, I think that's great.
That's decent.
Yeah. So, David, what are they doing different, or what do they, you know, a lot of these helis are converting over to this no-fly bar system. Why, I mean, how are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Because everything I've had or have flown always had the fly bar on it. So what is the benefits of not having the fly bar now?
You can change the feel of the copter through software. Is a big thing because a helicopter itself without a fly bar is not a stable platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to try and crash on you all the time.
Okay.
It's almost unflyable. So you need a flight controller of some sort, and they've gotten really small and really cheap. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to have less components in the head and then just move that kind of electronics into the flight controller.
Gotcha.
And it looks a lot better too.
It definitely looks better.
That's probably a huge appearance thing for me.
Yeah. And you like on the large scale copters, like the larger ones that uses expensive flight controllers, you mm-hmm. can like set exactly how the copter should feel, and you can emulate different swash types or like not swash types, but different head setups and all that. It's just in the flight controller itself. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Nice looking little heli.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
And that's, like you said, Mike, too, the price point on that, I think that, that would be well worth, you know, if you're getting into the heli. That's affordable.
That's doable there, for sure.
Okay, next up, they come out with a new Focal FPV wireless headset. Now, obviously, if you go check this out or look at it, it looks just kind of like the Fat Sharks, and I think they even said they went in with Fat Shark to help develop this headset specifically for Horizon.
Yeah, I had the Fat Shark logo on them, I saw.
Yeah, it's got the new no-fog, like, fan system on it, wireless capabilities. Let's see, let me read through. Developed in cooperation with Fat Shark, the Focal FPV headset is a premium 5.8 gigahertz headset that uses exclusive spectrum technology for wireless head tracking and channel selection. It also boosts some of the most comfortable ergonomics. Built-in module allows the Focal headset to communicate with any spectrum transmitter that has wireless trainer link technology. This makes it possible to control the head tracking without the cord and remotely change the camera channels. Crisp, clear 640 by 480 optics, perfectly proportioned 32-degree field of view. The distance between the optic screens, also known as the interplanetary distance, can be adjusted. That's just like typical Fat Shark. Now, the one thing they did add that I'm surprised at, and I wish Fat Shark would do it, they added antenna diversity, which I think, for me, I really like that. Depending on the
mission. Yeah, it's a really good idea.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't do that on their regular goggles. So all in all, I would say, personally, I mean, I don't really use the Fat Sharks that much. But they're $400, so right on the price point with the regular Fat Sharks. But is there any advantage besides the diversity or anything, David, that you see why you would buy these over the Fat Sharks?
I don't know. The wireless head tracking is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the channel selection through the radio, I don't know how that would actually work. But, I mean, it's not that hard to push a button on the goggles, in my opinion. But, hey, it fits right in between the Dominator and the Attitude when it comes to the field of view.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how the video quality is, but I'm betting it's pretty good.
Yeah. So $400.
$400 and you get a diversity?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think that would compete a little bit more with the Sky Zone goggles, which is mostly what I use, and that's one main reason why I use them was because of the diversity receiver built-in, which I like. Okay, let's see. They also brought out an Alpha 6 AS3X stability system. The Alpha 6 stability box, you don't have to be a Spectrum user to transform your flying experience with the stability and precision that only AS3X technology can provide. It works with almost any of the any receiver and is easy to install. No app, it's ready to go. The Alpha 6 stability box comes with basic stability settings already programmed. A free programming app for mobile devices and PCs will be available for you to want to tailor these settings or tap into advanced functions. But you don't want to need the programming app to start. Enjoy the benefits of the AS3 technology. All I can say, I think it's a little pricey. It's $179, and I don't really, besides the programming a little bit, I don't see what function you're going to get more than, like, say, if you got the, what's the Eagle Tree one? The Guardian? Is that it? David?
I'm trying to think. Now that you threw out a name, it just threw me.
I know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Eagle Tree one, I think it's called the Guardian. I think it's only like $70, and I've heard nothing but fantastic things about it.
But that's just the stabilizer, not the receiver, right? So this is just a built-in package together.
No, it isn't. Not a receiver.
This is just a flight.
This is just a stabilizer. Yeah.
Or you can just buy an Ace 32 and just set that up a little bit.
Right.
And, get the same thing.
Yep, that's true. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how they're going to do with that for $180. I don't know.
I'm guessing larger planes.
Yeah.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something I thought was pretty cool. They brought out a new heavy-duty 25-milliwatt 5.8 gigahertz video transmitter and camera with RaceBand built in. And it's a cool little camera. It's kind of like the one they have, but it's more heavy duty, a little bit bigger, and everything is encased. Integrated camera and 25 milliwatt transmitter, protective outer shell for extreme durability, water, shock, and dust resistant. Excellent image clarity in all lighting conditions, enough signal for a small park flyer and racer quads. Compatible with 5.8 gigahertz Fat Shark headsets, requires 2 or 3 cell LiPo battery. Remote control selection, integrated power filter prevents motor and servo interference. We know the ham license. I like that. It's pretty cool. But I think looking at this, this is going to be more for like the car guys strapping that thing on the car, being, you know, shockproof and waterproof and everything. Mm-hmm. But it is a cool little camera all set up in one. $114.
25 milliwatts.
Yep.
25 milliwatts. 2 to 3S battery only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's where I'm thinking too. Why I was leaning towards the car stuff more. I don't know.
It looks like a tiny little digital SLR. Like it's looks like a little camera.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got with the little pot with the antenna on the top, all rubberized.
It's just super cute.
It is. It's really cool looking. So actually, that's probably about it for Horizon. They are bringing out a new DX6 with the diversity antenna. That will be coming out. I didn't realize that the other new DX6 didn't have diversity on it. I had no clue.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Yeah, everyone thought that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. All right, let's move on. We'll do a little bit of stuff from Hobbico here. Let me get my website pulled up here. Some of this stuff has been out a little bit, but we've been so busy doing other things, we haven't really talked about it. Let's pull it up here somewhere. Where did they go? Okay, I lied. Where are you at? Okay, first thing I wanted to talk about, and I know Flight Test had one, and I think they did a review on one, and I don't know what happened to the thing. It probably got crashed. I'm not sure. But they have the Voltage 500 3D aerobatic helicopter, and it's pretty cool looking. Like I said, you can go check out Flight Test's website. I'm pretty sure they did a review on there. But if you're ready to break into Cirrus 3D, this quad is for you. It has reversible motors, bigger props for the power to execute aggressive electrifying 3D aerobatics. It's equipped with stability mode to make breaking into 3D flying easier and safer. If you got some experience behind the radio, take your flying to the next level with the Voltage 500. This quad is absolutely not for the faint of heart, but if you're an established heli pilot with some experience under your belt and urge to break into some serious 3D flying, this quad is for you. Unlike most multi-rotor aircraft, the Voltage 500 has reversible motors, allowing it to execute a wide range of stunts. Bigger size, bigger props give you the presence of power and aggressive electrifying 3D stunts, stunt execution. Let's see. It's got four 1400K reversible motors, 9-inch props, flight modes, stability mode for safe 3D learning, limits quad to maximum tilt of 45 degrees. Flight controller levels quad when sticks are centered. 3D mode has no limits on the tilt angle, and the quad will not level itself in this mode. Pre-programmed and tuned 3-axis gyro. No low voltage cutoff. See comments below. That's not good. Carbon fiber frame, G10 with machined aluminum. So that's pretty cool. It'll fly on either a 3 or a 4 cell. Now, my question, David, because there hasn't been a lot of this. This motor reversing thing, after a while, is this going to have an effect on the ESCs and the motors themselves as far as durability? Do you have any idea?
Depends on how big the ESCs are, but nah, I mean, yeah, they take a little bit more of a beating to speed up the props again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, they should design around it, so it should be fine, and the motors should be fine too. It's just, yeah, it puts a little bit extra stress on it when it needs to switch directions, but yeah, it should be fine.
All right. I was just curious. It just seems like a lot of load and a lot of stress when you got that motor doing 900 RPMs and boom, instantly you're flipping that thing back around, you know? I don't know. You all right, Mike? I was just checking on you over there. You don't look too good.
Well, my neck got really tight. I'm not sure why.
You ain't going to stroke out on us. All right. I got 911 on the phone here. Let me know. Okay, the other thing they brought out, it's a Form 500 utility drone, and this just looks like they brought out a big old tank to do whatever you want to do with it. It says it's more than a sport drone or an aerial photography platform, much more. Adapts to you to want to do whatever you want with your drone. Whether it's carrying a camera or some other payload or accessory, it exhibits stable flight characteristics, exceptional handling in the 500 quad class. The performance is exceptional, the possibilities are endless, so take it out of the box, fly it as a stock drone, tinker with it, and make it your own. Designed to be upgraded with variable mission equipment. Mod the drone to your need. Perfectly balances light flight assistance with total flight envelope freedom for the quad that's perfect for the intermediate hobbyist. 100% pre-assembled, ready to perform any task. Self-tightening propellers. Comes with the camera mount. Power's provided by 3-cell 5000. Lots of built-in flight assistance and safety features, including intelligent orientation control, return to home, altitude hold, GPS lock, low voltage, return to home, and auto landing. Features, camera mount, flight assistance, return to home, auto landing, radio. It comes with its own radio. Lifting capacity is 2.2 pounds. That's not too bad. 3-cell 5000. That's a nice-looking quad, I think.
What's the orange on the feet? Is that for tethering or for orientation?
Orientation. Yeah.
And you should probably mention, I don't know what the price point on that last one was, but are both of these maybe?
This one's $549.
Ready to fly.
Yep, ready to go. Not too bad for what you're getting. That's a big quad.
Yeah, that's a larger one.
So maybe I need something like that.
What was the last one priced at? I can't remember that race type one.
It was $429.
Okay.
Yep. All right, that's about it for HeliMax. I have to Google this next one. As everybody probably knows, Traxxas is really known for their trucks and cars, and I know a while back they kind of dipped into the quad market a little bit, and they're coming out with a new quad, a bigger quad, kind of like a utility quad called the Aton Plus. Let me pull it up here real quick, see if I can find it. I was really shocked why they're getting into the quad market. Anyway, the Aton Plus. It's kind of like a camera quad. You can has an optional 2-axis gimbal. Flies on a 5,000 3-cell milliamp battery. Capture amazing aerial footy that you only dreamed about and now is a reality. Meet the Anton Plus, your easy-to-use aerial photo and video assistant. Plus, Anton Plus is a durable, high-performance quadcopter that's designed to use in the real world. Take it with you to the park, camping trip, impress your friends, impress yourself. Anton Plus is extremely adaptable, easy to use, and tough as nails. Perfect to use for any skill level, no experience is required. I love how they always put that in there. Experience is not required.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds like a plan for destruction.
Exactly.
Recipe, I mean.
Also, in just a few short minutes, Anton can be set up for the excitement of sport flying. Experience fun flying, discover new way. Like I said, optional two-axis gimbal. Three flight modes. You have film mode, sport mode. If you want to learn to fly and experience on a different level of fun, sport mode unlocks full throttle control, faster, more athletic flight. Anton's six-axis flight stability makes it easy to learn and explore while always keeping the safety of air brakes. And, of course, expert mode is the most experienced pilots who truly love to fly. Expert mode unlocks Anton's full performance capability for exciting aerobatic flight, but it's still with the safety of air brakes and return to home. The air brake brings Anton to a full stop, hover in place, and allow you to catch your breath and plan the next move.
I like the way they say that. Meet Anton, your personal video assistant.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if they're aiming towards, you know, again, Traxxas has a huge, huge falling in the car, the RC car department, you know, whether they're trying to get some of these people to come over to the quad side a little bit, add something else. I don't know, but it's cool looking though. If you look at the quad, it kind of, that you could tell that they're in the car business or the truck business, because the looks of it, it looks almost like a car with a big wing or something on the back. And knowing Traxxas, it probably has some pretty good quality as far as motors, ESCs, and I bet it's pretty well built. Just a guess. I haven't heard much about it. It's not out yet, but I don't know, Andre. What do you think of that?
It looks like a truck.
It does, doesn't it?
But it's kind of got a very familiar looking frame as far as I was when I Googled it real quickly while you were talking about it. It kind of reminds me of a Solo for some reason.
It does look a little bit like a Solo now that you mention it, yeah.
With the upright arms and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. Because, I mean, look, the gimbal looks pretty. It's only a two-axis gimbal, and it flies out with a 3S5000, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but it's got a protected dual-mode GPS, which is exterior to the body. So, you know, that's already better. And it's got some LEDs, easy-to-understand LED light system. That's good to know.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like front and back, or is it communicating with you?
Four easy-to-see LED indicators for power-up, sat-link established, return-to-home location set, and overall system status.
So just normal, like every other system has?
Yeah, but it's up on the bar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like power button and everything.
So, yeah, that is different.
Yeah. So where they've got the GPS antenna, it's sitting on top of like this little dome. It's like, you know, like a truck. It's like a light set up above.
Light bar.
Right?
So, yeah, like a light bar on top of a truck.
Thank you, yes.
Yep.
And then they've got highly visible LED lighting system along the booms and everything. So, you know, it's not too bad. It's got application support, and it's got a, you know, you can talk to it with your phone and so on. All right. Neat.
Yeah. Like I said, what was the price on it? I didn't even.
It's like a.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Enough of the Traxxas. We got to get rolling here. We got a few more things, man. Real quick, I'm just going to mention, we're not going to really get into too much detail. Habico sells Phoenix models. They're coming out with three new models, and they're pretty large size. They have the Spacewalker coming out, which, you know, Horizon sells the Ultra Micro Spacewalker. It's a neat-looking airplane, but they Phoenix models are going to make a large version of the Spacewalker. It looks pretty cool. Piper J3 Cub. A Yak 54, and a PC-9 Pilatus. They're coming out here soon. So that's three new models from Phoenix. So go check those out. Okay, now a couple other things I want to jump into here real quick. We're almost done with the products, but I think this one is a big one.
I do too. I know where you're going. I was excited about
it's,
it.
It's from Hobby King. And I didn't, honestly, I don't think I really heard any rumors or I didn't know anything about them bringing this stuff out, but they are bringing out a new type of battery.
Yes.
They're
high C rating.
Yeah. Turnigy Graphene, I take it, is how you say it. It's a whole new line of batteries they're bringing out.
At a good price point.
Pretty good price. The Graphene Professional Series is designed for professional UAV, RPA operators, unmanned aerial vehicles, remotely piloted aircraft, and those who demand nothing less than the best. Graphene batteries are unlike anything you've ever used before. The packs utilize carbon in the battery structure to form a single layer of graphene. Just 0.335, what's NM?
Nanometers?
Holy cow, that's got to be little. Making that type of battery substrate the thinnest known to mankind, the graphene particles form a highly dense compound allowing electrons to flow with less resistance compared to traditional LiPo batteries. All right, David. Kind of explain this in general terms for us. Any way possible to do that? What makes this battery so good?
Sure. Like they said, the graphene is a super thin material that conducts electricity really good. That should make it heat up a lot less, and that should give you higher C ratings and less temperature during those high C ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I am too.
Looking at the specs,
the
power density, they're giving the specs on the power densities, but the weight of a 4S3000 is 393 grams. If you look at the Turnigy A specs, 3200. They're also 65 to 130 C burst.
Uh-huh.
They weigh 364 grams.
Okay.
Which is less. And you have a little bit more milliamps.
What's the price difference on this?
Wait, David, what size? You were talking about what size battery?
4S3200.
Oh, 4 cell. And okay.
4S3000. I took two large batteries.
Sure.
Yeah,
more easily see the difference.
Sure.
Okay.
So the price point is $50 for the graphene and $56 for the A spec. So yeah, it wasn't that big of a difference compared to what I thought it would be.
Uh huh.
But I mean, it's going to be interesting to actually test them out.
Yeah, I'd like to put them in my quads, try them out in the quads. I don't know.
Cool thing is they're up to 15C now on charging. That's crazy.
2200 milliamp, 3S, 65C, and they're only like $30.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to get a couple of these and test
Put them through the rigors of the testing.
The A-spec on the 3S 2200, the 65C, which is what I used in the Tundra and a couple other airplanes, is $28. And actually, the other one is slightly cheaper at $28. Well, actually, they're almost on par as far as price, So the new graphene is actually slightly cheaper. It actually weighs in at shipping, so overall weight is 225 grams on the 3S, and then the A-spec is 192 grams. So not much of a weight difference. Shipping is more because they put them in a nice fancy box and stuff like this, so hopefully they'll get... Yeah, like shipping weight is 490 grams on the battery for the graphene, and then the shipping weight on the A-spec is 270 grams. So,
wow.
Might have to ship in a smaller box. Mm-hmm. So, Now, like I said, Stuart said in his update, he was flying one of those in the Tundra, and he could just push it right and just hang it off the prop. So, we'll see.
Yep, we'll see.
Yeah, because I got a bunch of the A-spec batteries, and I mean, I was liking them for a while. I thought they were, you know, and they're the high, you know, I think 60 to 100 and some burst or whatever they are.
130.
But I can't remember if it was a Sukhoi or if it was the there was something else we ran them in. Maybe it was a night vision air. We pushed them really hard right to the limit, and I actually have puffed, I think, three of them. Not bad, but they got a little puffy, and they were the A-specs. I'm a little disappointed.
But no, that's the plane, though, because I've had the same experience.
Oh, really?
It's if the ESC can't use the power, right, you're pushing the battery for no good reason, right? And I've had the same experience, Chris, with my A-specs, where I ran them in things like my T-28, and I ran them in the Sukhoi, and they got hot, and it's like they're trying to push the power back, and they're getting resistance, correct, Dave?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Most of these planes, like this planet battery has 65C, right? And
yep.
And the things like the E-flights, they're all 30 amp. ESCs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've flown them in my Sukhoi where I'm banging around and the batteries come out and it's like the power has been inefficiently run. What's the uh-oh for?
You're not breaking up real bad.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. We're having some weird internet issues over here. I think my provider just put out a notice.
Lovely.
Anyhow, the point that I'm getting at is in the Tundra, I can land after 8 minutes of pushing that battery, and it's fine, right? Because it's got a 50 amp ESC or whatever. But in a plane with a smaller ESC setup, that battery is useless. It's pointless running that battery. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yes, you won't notice too much difference between the higher C rated battery if you're not actually using higher current.
Yes.
But the reason why they puff is probably because the voltage warning or the voltage cutoff is set too low on the ESCs or something.
Hmm.
Because they do not like being over discharged. They hate that.
Right.
I noticed. But otherwise, if you take care of them, the A-specs are fantastic.
Are they?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah. Mm. I've been using them, and I've been using them in planes I know will use them to their full advantage. So I learned very quickly that, so I stopped running them in some of the other planes that just won't draw the benefits. So
well, the thing too, my understanding is even if you have a plane that's not going to use all that battery and what it can do, you're saving on the battery and should be able to get more life cycles out of it. Correct?
You're not pushing it as hard, and it shouldn't be getting warm at all.
Right.
But if you over-discharge them, it does not matter which battery you have. It's still going to die.
Mm, you're right. That's a good point. Okay, the only other thing I wanted to talk about, unless you guys had something else from Hobby King, and the only reason I'm talking about this is it looks almost like the same thing Horizon has. So if you broke yours or you need a replacement, Quantum brought out an Elite TX camera combo micro cam, 25 milliwatt, 40 channel, 5.8, all-in-one camera, antenna, transmitter, everything. And it looks just like Horizon's little camera that comes on the Nano QX, the FPV. So, and it's only $40. And I don't see much difference. My question is, I didn't think the original small little camera from Horizon was even 25 milliwatts. I've heard through the grapevine it might even been only 10 or something. So I'm wondering
I think it was 10.
Yeah, so you might actually, if this is the same size, this might be a nice upgrade for $40 at a 25 milliwatt. You're going to get a lot more range out of it, right? Possibly?
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
So if you want to check that out, it's pretty cool. Quantum Elite TX camera combo.
Yeah.
And it's 40 band, and it's got all the frequencies, 600 TV line camera, 1 lux. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not too bad for that size.
Yeah, it might actually even be a little bit better of a camera possibly for $40. I don't know. Take the little case off of there. I might have to try one for $40.
4.5 grams.
Yeah, we'll have to...
It just doesn't say what the specs. Oh, 120 degree angle lens. So it actually might have a wider. It might actually perform better.
Yeah, that's a wider lens than what
the view Horizon. Than what's on the Nano. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. There you go, man.
All right. Well, guys, hey, that's for new products, man. That's all we got.
That was a wow.
Okay.
Wow. Just a few. Yep.
Here's my thoughts. The original plan was, again, to go through some new products, and I had a ton of crash stories. But at this point, we've already been an hour and a half. We've had tons of difficulties this morning. So do you guys think we ought to just wait? We'll call this podcast. We'll throw it out for the new products. We'll come back fresh, hopefully live on YouTube, and we can go through a ton. Maybe we can even do – we'll see how things go and what's available. Maybe we'll do a bonus. We'll come back in here maybe even next weekend or something. We'll do a bonus podcast for you guys, and we'll do just a bunch of crash stories, maybe some news stories.
I would love to be on board for that, okay. That session.
How about you? Yeah, what do you guys think? Session. Does that sound good?
I love crash stories. That's my go-to.
Yeah, maybe Andre, I'll come back down here sometime soon. We'll do a little bit more testing again. Every time I think we'll get this figured out, we'll get this the live thing dialed in, and we'll go from there. So what do you think?
Yep. Tag me, and we'll talk you through it and everything, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I think we're going to get out of here then. It was fun after all the headaches and all the troubles.
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, I just don't know what was going on. But it turned out okay, so I think we're okay. Let's see. Maybe
quick reminder.
Yeah, go ahead.
FlightFest registration is set up, and it's live now, so get in there and get your tickets. And the dates are July 14th to the 17th in Ohio at Fury Field. So we're going to be back there for the third year in a row, which is fantastic. They've secured more property, so we won't be tripping over all each other. It's a week later than last year, and Austin felt that the Farmer's Almanac stated it was going to be a dry year.
Yoo-hoo! Let's keep our fingers crossed. Yeah. For sure.
I should be able to all those dates except maybe Sunday. I had family vacation, but at least Thursday through Saturday, I'll be able to make it.
Excellent. Right.
So that's
excellent.
Good. So, can't wait to see you.
All right.
So we're going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and listening to us ramble on. Go check out the FT After Hours Instagram page. You guys are great. All the followers I got there. Also, go check out the FT After Hours YouTube channel. We got a little bit of stuff up there, and hopefully the weather's going to break out. We'll get some more stuff on there and get this live podcast stuff going. Other than that, I think that's it, and we will get out of here, so we'll see you guys soon.
See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.